This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
All right, welcome back. We don't want to waste any time here with Representative Steve Weir. It's the 55th?
55th.
Mighty
district.
55th?
Mighty 55th.
And what'd you bring?
Well, we brought
presents.
I brought some
and you live in Hebron, right?
I live in Hebron.
You were in Glastonbury for
Correct.
A stretch, and
yep.
Now you're in Hebron with your family.
Yep. So we have pastries here from the Flower Girl Bakery and Cafe in Hebron and the Marlboro Bakery in naturally in Marlboro. And both some goodies to share with people in the studio here.
All right. We're going to open them up. I don't want to take too much time. Maybe we'll open them up and just see as we get down to... So we got, looks like some sconage.
Oh, my gosh.
There's like a blueberry scone, Matthew.
Yep.
I don't know why I got
garlic.
The taquitos from Tommy.
We also have some cinnamon twists and apple twists from the Marlboro Bakery.
Did you hear that? Matt's like, we're in.
This is not necessarily Awaken 180 approved.
It's definitely not. Well, I appreciate it. And a shout out to Flower Girl and Marlboro Bakery. Obviously, we're a huge fan of bakeries and diners here at Bryan and Company. So, you know, your focus is on labor. You know, obviously the budget's a massive issue. Also, you deal with some housing stuff. And so because we only have a little bit here, I want to get to the labor bills. There's a slew of them, which you've been really helpful in terms of presenting to us all the different ones. And I think your point's going to be that there are some bipartisan ones that are really worth pushing forward and some other ones that are getting more attention than they should.
Sure.
And there's a couple I agree with there. But I want to ask about the budget. How worried are you? And again, you know, the Democrats have firm control here. But, you know, the federal money that may or may not be coming, we don't know.
Correct.
And we have all this excess. We have surplus in the current year, but also this huge rainy day fund. Say if Medicaid is a couple hundred million light, what do you think we should do?
So initially, we are going to gavel out June 4th. That's the end of our session.
Right. You might not know by then,
We might not know. So I would say we should not be making any rash decisions, not knowing. You know, I don't think we should be digging into the budget guardrails. Our pension debt has been improved, our bond ratings, all of our... From a fiscal standpoint, we are in such a better shape, and that those guardrails were enacted prior to me being in the legislature.
You came in 22.
This was in 17. I've watched the results as a private citizen. Certainly now, as a legislator, our results have improved. You know, we're able to borrow money at lower costs because our ratings are improved. Our debt is down.
Sure.
That's all good. That's all fiscally responsible.
So, I mean, the assumption is we would have some sort of special session, but what if it does come in really light? What do you think we should do?
I think those are discussions that'll have to happen when we see what we're dealing with. You know, but the fiscal guardrails to me are absolutely sacrosanct. Those have put us in such a good place fiscally. Certainly hard decisions may have to be made.
So you're more inclined to cut spending or programs then tap either the surplus or the rainy day fund? And I'm not saying I disagree with,
sure.
I'm just asking you to clarify.
As a person who's been a self-employed nearly all my life, you know, sometimes cutting is what you have to do. And it doesn't, I'm not saying that's the only choice there are. Certainly I don't want to look to raise revenue, but there's always opportunity to make improvements in efficiencies. And I think that the state government could probably do a better job of looking at what those are.
Okay. His name is Steve Weir. He represents the 55th District. We will take a quick break here, and then we'll talk about – there's a slew of labor bills, and labor's been the theme of the day for us. We're talking a lot of Pratt & Whitney, even potential labor strife with Electric Boat. And my biggest concern is, what if they just say, you know what, we're going to take – some of our operations to another state that's friendlier. Like, I'm not pro or anti-union. My concern is that that would happen, and we need this kind of industry to stay here. By the way, Flower Girl is a pun. It's F-L-O-U-R. And the scones, the blueberry scones are delicious. We're here with a representative, Steve Weir, from the 55th District. We don't have a ton of time now. You're on the Labor
Committee. Labor Public Employees Committee, ranking member.
And there's a couple of bills. There's one today I want to make sure we get to that's coming for a vote today.
Likely coming for a vote today,
That you think people should know about.
Yeah, House Bill 6907, otherwise titled as Protections for Warehouse Workers. And it really, what it is it's a target at Amazon.
What is in the bill? What does it do?
The bill sets... talks about reporting for Amazon, must let their employees know what type of metrics and quotas, brings the attorney general into the mix rather than go through the labor department like many other industries if an employee has an issue. So it allows the attorney general to levy fines, bring the power of government down on an industry, have the employees bring a private right of action. So it really puts a lot of pressure on Amazon to do many of the things they're already doing, and that the governor and the labor committee chairs know darn well that they're already doing these
things. Why are the Democrats pushing this bill?
It's sending a message, certainly sending a message, and on the bringing in the attorney general and the fact of the civil courts into this just puts more pressure on Amazon to open the door. My opinion for the unions, Amazon is a non-unionized facility organization, and the unions would like to very much be getting those.
Do you think it's
dues.
A foot in the door to try to unionize with Amazon? So I'm assuming you're against the bill, but Democrats are supporting it, so the likelihood of passing is high.
It's extremely high. Might as well call it 100%.
And would Amazon, how would they react? I mean, they're building so much that this Waterbury thing is going to be ginormous. I'm in Windsor. You can't drive 5 minutes in any direction without hitting an Amazon facility.
Sure.
But they wouldn't pack up and leave, would they? Bradley's too easy for them and all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't think there's a chance that Amazon's going to pack up and leave. They can't. They're heavily invested. They just announced a new facility in Waterbury, $2+ billion they're going to be investing. I think what this bill the message it sends is that we're adversarial to business. Where's the next Amazon? Where's the next warehouse facility who wants to come into Connecticut? It is a growing industry, a lot more e-commerce, less brick and mortar. What type of messages does this send to the next company who wants to invest in Connecticut?
We're talking with Steve Weir, Republican representative from the 55th District here on Bryan & Company. One bill that it didn't make it last year and I thought it would go away. And again, I repeat, I'm not a Democrat or Republican, but if you decide to go on strike, that's a risk you take, and I don't think the state should support that one way or the other. And we talked with Dave Sullivan from International Association of Machinists, and as a union, they give some compensation to striking workers. It's clearly not enough, but you're telling me that this unemployment compensation for striking workers is back in business?
It is back in business. I don't know the likelihood of it being called.
There's no way that can pass, can it?
Brian, it passed last year under a watered-down other name. Basically, it was compensation for low-wage workers. The governor, to his credit, vetoed it and has vowed to veto it again, although I'm hearing that they're trying to come up with alternatives that would take the compensation out of the unemployment compensation fund and allow the striking workers to take low or no interest loans to fund their strike. Again, all hearsay. There's decisions or there are conversations going on behind closed doors, but I'm catching wind that this thing has legs.
Now, there are bills you think that both parties can get behind. What are a couple of things that are coming out of committee that you support?
Yeah, there are probably 8 or 10.
Give me the best one or two.
I would say that we had there were a couple that directly compensated this was arose out of a DOT worker being killed on the side of the road, and there was no coverage for their family. So talking uninsured or underinsured motorist coverage for Department of Transportation employees. Another great one was adding wage and hour inspectors to the Department of Labor, so giving them a larger budget. We've heard a lot about wage theft where employees an employer takes, you know, does not pay an employee.
Really?
And there's a huge backlog of those claims when they make a claim with the Department of Labor. So adding more wage and hour inspectors.
So you support that?
Yes, to be able to investigate those claims and get those people their, you know, their restitution.
What's the likelihood of that getting through?
Well, if it gets called, it'll be 100%. It's about bipartisan. It was 13-0 out of the Labor Committee. You know, there was Republicans and Democrats alike voted for these. So there's a number of these bills, 8 or 10 of them out of the Labor Committee alone. And I'd like to see more of those bills called that were bipartisan that we can agree on.
Now, if people are listening, they're like, oh, I'm for that or I'm against that. What can people listening, how can they impact? And we saw the homeschooling commitment earlier in the week, yeah. And they were out by the thousands. What can people listening, if they have a passion for anything you're saying, what can they do?
The biggest thing is to reach, if they want to take the role of being informed, reach out to your state rep or state senator or the governor. You know, let us know how you feel.
That stuff really works.
It does. Yep.
Really?
I would say avoid the form letters. You know, make a personal phone call, personal email that you draft yourself that goes directly in versus a, you know, form letter. Those are not as I don't necessarily pay as much attention to those when somebody actually takes the time to write it, paying attention. And furthermore, get involved at your town level. You could run for a commission. You could run for committee. You could run for higher office. We'd love to have you. I'd love to be serving with you up here in Hartford.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot ad nauseum on this show about we need more competitive government. We need better Republicans.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Against to run, and I don't know how that changes. There'll be an ebb and a flow. I mean, I don't see the day where Republicans will have a majority, but there'll be another movement the other way. I mean, Connecticut's clearly, whether you like Trump or not, Republicans at the state level have been hurt by Trump. You just look at the numbers from 2017 mm-hmm. to now. That's not a debate, actually. What I want to ask you, I want to go back since we got a little bit of time here. I don't even know where they come from. I don't understand non-competes. Like, I work in a business where they're all over the place. And, like, I don't know how they were ever allowed to be in place in the first place. Because why shouldn't you be able to go and work with whomever you want? And then what's happening with those? Because they're sort of fading a little bit, right?
Yeah, there are. You know, there's clear case law about what is accepted and what's not, what's acceptable in a non-compete. And there's case law that would say you can't tell somebody, come work for me, and you can't go work somewhere else for 5 years, or you can't.
That's
unacceptable. If it ever went to court, it would be thrown out. No attorney, I don't think, who has a law degree would draw something like that up because it would never hold up in court. The issue that I have is that we're trying to you've got people with high levels of information at certain companies. You know, maybe not. You know, maybe it's not radio, but it could be somebody with the absolute keys to the kingdom who you don't want to leave and take all that information and go to a competitor and share all that information.
Right.
So that, you know, there are reasonable standards to it. I'm not saying it should be 5 years, and it shouldn't be that somebody working at McDonald's can't go to work for Wendy's. You know, we should have income thresholds.
Right.
Nobody earning minimum wage should be subject to a
non-compete. We only got about 30 seconds. I wanted to get into housing. You're going to have to come back with more time because that's a massive subject for me. But anything else in 30 seconds you want people to know about?
Well, I think the best thing that they could do is pay attention. You know, obviously, this radio station does a great job of informing people. From morning to night, I'm listening whenever I can. Get involved. Have your voice heard. maybe even do a little bit of research. It's tough. Everybody's busy. Everybody's working. But to read into the bills, get, you know, and have your voice heard, that's we need to hear from people.
Steve Weir, again, state representative Republican from the 55th District. Come back, because the stuff is important, and we want to get to stuff like housing. So I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Anytime.